Welcome back. I'm here with Robert Kenner, who's the producer and director of Food, Inc., and also Michael Pollan, the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma. Welcome, both of you. Robert, I want to start with you and start where the film starts, which is this scene of American grocery stores, this gorgeous bounty. Now, take us behind that scene to what's in your film.
Well, I think our food has been fundamentally transformed without us really knowing about it. The tomatoes, as Michael calls them, they're notional tomatoes. They look the same. They're still bright red, but they no longer have the nutritional value. They've been changed. They don't bruise, but they don't have flavor any longer. The chickens have been changed. The meat's been changed. And I thought it'd be interesting to take a glimpse to see where our food is grown and what's in it and to learn more about it. And that was the point of Food, Inc.
And Michael, why has this happened? Why have we got these supersized chickens and tasteless tomatoes?
Well, we've been on this quest since World War II to make food as cheap and abundant as possible. This has been the direction of all our agricultural policies, to drive down the cost of food, which is always popular, obviously. It's politically very popular. And especially since the Nixon administration, that's where we really went into overdrive in terms of organizing subsidies to drive down the price of corn and soy, which are the building blocks of fast food. And in real dollars, you know, we're spending less on food than anyone in history, only about 9% of our income, cheaper than anywhere else in the world. So it's succeeded in a sense. We have lots of cheap and abundant food, but it's almost succeeded too well, which is to say it's making us fat. We have this tremendous problem with obesity and type 2 diabetes. And as it turns out, cheap food has many, many hidden costs. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Food, Inc. dwells on, is looking at, well, what is, you know, how do you get the food that cheap? Well, you have to brutalize the workers and brutalize the animals and shoot them up with drugs and feed them inappropriate diets. And, you know, there are all these costs that we're not aware of, but we need to be.
Robert, when Food, Inc. was made, talk about the hurdles a little bit. This is not a story that the corporations that produce this food want out, particularly in the detail with which you tell it.
Well, I think these corporations, I had hoped that they would go on camera and talk with us and discuss, you know, how do you feed the world? But these corporations really did not want to talk to us. We spent years trying to bring them on camera. And I don't think they want us thinking about where our food is grown and what's in it. And, you know, for me, one of the most shocking things was when we went to one state legislation hearing where we were discussing whether we should label cloned meats. I didn't even know there were cloned meats. And the industry representative said that she thought it was not in the consumer's interest to have us have that information. It was best that we don't put it on the label. And I realized time and time again, this kind of information is being kept away from us, whether it's GMOs or trans fats or country, you know, on and on and on, that these corporations are trying not to provide us information. And I think in our society, if we're going to make good choices, it should be based on proper information.
Michael, what about people who say, life is hard, let me just eat my chicken, and also I don't have the money to get grass-fed beef from the farm up the street. What do you say to people who say that?
Well, I think that's a problem. I mean, the fact is that, you know, we can only afford this cheap food, many people. But I think that really is something that can be addressed at the level of policy. I mean, right now we're subsidizing the least healthy calories in the supermarket. I'm talking about the high fructose corn syrup that comes from corn, the hydrogenated oils that come from soy, the animal feed for the animal factories. This is what we subsidize. We don't subsidize the healthy foods. We don't subsidize fresh produce. So we have to change the playing field so that the healthy food can compete with the less healthy foods. And that is really a matter of changing the incentives built into our subsidy system.
But, John, I also think that we're not seeing the real price, the real cost for this food when you go to the checkout line. You know, on one hand, we're paying very little money, as Michael's saying. But in our film, we follow a family that's feeding themselves for $11, four people. And so that's a wonderfully cheap meal, but they're also spending $500 a month on medicines.
Well, Upton Sinclair said when he wrote The Jungle that he said he aimed for people's heads and he hit them in the stomach because it was so disgusting that it ended up not being his intent. Do you worry about that here, either with the film or with your book, in terms of people missing the point because some of the behind the scenes that you show is so grim?
We actually tried to take most of that out of the film. We didn't want to have people have to sit there with their eyes closed. And, you know, on a level, we're trying to change people's minds as much as we're trying to change their stomachs. But obviously, you know, ultimately, people are very concerned by what they're eating. And there have been a number of food scares. And that's always one of the main questions that people ask you. And I think it's going to be mothers who have to feed their children who are going to help change the system.
You've got people, you know, people are more concerned about the food supply today than they've been since Upton Sinclair, really. I mean, there is this, you know, we've had these episodes, beginning with mad cow disease, various food safety problems, and every one of these episodes is an opportunity to peer behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. And people see, you know, things they don't like, and they're moving for these alternatives. So I think we're in the midst, or really at the beginning, of a national conversation about the future of food and farming. And this film is meant to contribute to that conversation.
Let's talk about the politics briefly before we go. You had a screening with the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. How did that go?
Well, actually, Michael was there.
Oh, okay. Well,
so were you.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't at the screening?
I was in Oxford.
Oh, yeah, I'm
Michael,
sorry.
Tom, how did you manage the Secretary of Agriculture?
Well, I was very impressed that he wanted to see this film. You know, this has not been a part of the government that's been interested in looking at reform, looking at the problems of the system, and his receptivity to, not that there's, you know, he agrees with everything in this film, I'm sure he doesn't, but you should really ask him what he thought about it. But the fact that he was willing to invite people in, journalists who are doing investigative work on the food system, to have a look at what they're finding out is very encouraging. I think there is a new wind blowing at the Department of Agriculture, and that there is more receptivity to reform than we've seen in a generation. So I'm very encouraged by what's happening.
What do you hope happens after the film comes out, people react, in terms of the politics of this?
Well, I think, first of all, I hope that it helps contribute to a very much a growing movement that's out there. And I think that movement can help influence politicians. Because I think there are a lot of people in Washington who would like to do things, but they need a strong movement to follow. So I'm just hoping that Food Inc. really contributes to this powerful movement that's growing.
All right.
You know, all the policies and regulatory decisions around food are really made by a very closely held group of the agriculture committees in the House and the Senate and the industry, and maybe a few people in the USDA. We're not in on this conversation. And what we need is to bring in more people, more different points of view, and represent the eaters as well as the food producers when we're having these conversations. So, you know, hopefully this debate will lead to more more public discussion and more political involvement in you know, what is, after all, the most important thing, you know, is our ability to feed ourselves every day and stay healthy. I also think that the healthcare debate is going to drive the food debate, because you cannot address these healthcare costs without addressing the food system. More than half of what we spend on healthcare, of that $2.5 trillion, is going to treat preventable chronic diseases linked to diet. And that is, finally, you're not going to get on top of those costs unless you address the American food system.
Well, good. Well, Food Inc. is coming out right as we're having this big healthcare debate, so we'll look forward to that. Michael Mahan, thank you very much. Robert Kenner, thank you very much. I'm John Dickerson. You're watching Washington Unplugged on CBSNews.com.